to me. Oh, oh.
Everybody tune in, tell a friend, the Playboy comedy, Mr. Trey Love is in. I would like to welcome you all to this day, man, this beautiful, blessed day. Today is June 27, 2019. It is 2 o'clock p.m., approximately 2:03, 2:04. Man, it's a great day today, man. How many people are feeling amazing right now, feeling truly blessed, man? Too blessed to be stressed. You are tuned in to blogtalkradio.com/handsomelife. Feel free to call in to speak with us, 323-642-1706. My name is Lewis Trey Love Smith. I will be your host for today. And as you all know, today is a father's plight. That is what we are talking about today. But before we get into the father's plight, y'all, we're going to talk about the 20 presidential candidates, the Democratic candidates that will be running for president of the United States against Donald Trump. This is a subject that's important, something we all need to think about and be considerate of. You know, who is going to be the primary candidate going into 2020 that's going to be running against Donald Trump. Now, here's what kind of throws me off a little bit. You know, we need to put our forces all behind someone that is going to be really strong, and I'm not really sure that the pool of candidates, of Democratic candidates that are running are really, let's just say what it is. popular enough, because of course we want a president that's going to run the country efficiently and do all the proper things that we would hope, you know, would better us continue as a society. However, you have to have a name with the American people, and or have built a name with the American people some type of way in order to be able to do that, because just naturally people are going to vote for someone that they don't know. That's just natural in human nature. And it's so ironic that everybody just wants Oprah Winfrey to run for president of the United States. And I just don't see it happening. Not saying at all in any way, shape, or form that Oprah Winfrey couldn't do it. I think Oprah would make a fine president. I think Oprah is just an amazing human being. She has so much charisma about herself. I mean, she's Oprah. I mean, her name alone just rings of like grandeur and, you know, American royalty. You know, she's Oprah Winfrey. She definitely would make a good public face for president. However, I don't think for Oprah Winfrey personally, for her as Oprah the person, that's really something she wants to do with her brand. Because as we all know, running for public office, any public office, I'm talking about, man, from running from the smallest office all the way up until the biggest office, it can really be a crazy, crazy thing, you know, running for office. You have to just, you know, it depends on what you want to do, you know, because if you want to run for office and you see that as something that you can do to make a difference for life and humanity, I mean, by all means, go for it. But I think Oprah has done so much philanthropy and made so much of a difference in the lives of so many people that running for president would probably slow her down. But anyway, let's go ahead and read the names of the long list of candidates that will be running for the Democratic presidential person, so to speak. Michael Bennett, have no idea who that is. Bill de Blasio, no idea who that is. Cory Booker, I heard of Cory Booker. I heard he's been making some noise. Let's write that name down, because I've heard some things about him. And what we'll do on Handsome Life is we'll find out about our candidates, because we're going to be doing this show every day from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. So as I'm producing this show, I will find out more details on the candidates. As I find out, I will let you know, and we'll kind of figure out as a team who would be best for us moving forward futuristically. Steve Bullock, Pete Buttigieg. The only reason I know his name is because they've been picking on his name on all kinds of shows. So Buttigieg, hey, brother, you know, with a name like Buttigieg. Julian Castro. With a name like Castro, I mean, cause think about this. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for President Castro. Julian Castro, you can pretty much just hang that up. John Delaney. Don't know you, but hey, you know, we'll see. Tulsi Gabbard. I don't want to say anyone's name incorrect. Tulsi Gabbard. Kristen Gillibrand. Mike Gravel. Kamala Harris. I think that's the girl. She representing like Compton. That's our girl over here, Kamala Harris. Woo! But again, it's President of the United States. It's the most prestigious, most powerful seat in the land. But if we can get Kamala Harris up there, let's do it, y'all. Come on, let's go for it. Why not? I mean, hey, if Donald Trump can be president, man, I'm telling you, I'm going to get my running shoes on in 2024. Watch me. Anyway, John Hickenlooper. What? John Hickenlooper. Give it up for President Hickenlooper, everybody. You know what? Okay. Jay Inslee. Amy Blaubuckar, okay. Wayne Messam, Seth Moulton, Betty O'Rourke, Tim Ryan, Big Bernie Sanders, Joe Sestak, Eric Swalwell, Elizabeth Warren. I've heard some things about her. I heard she's got a lot of plans. And Maureen Williamson and Andrew Yang. And last but not least, ladies and gentlemen, the one who I think is he's literally the projected favorite would be Joe Biden. Joe Biden did an excellent job as vice president to Barack Obama. He really, to me, it's even though it's a role player role, he played that role extremely well. He and Barack seemed to do an amazing dance together that was one that really worked. They seemed to be a great, awesome team together. I personally, and I mean, that's just my opinion. We all have things to say. I mean, Tyler Perry gave a resounding, amazing speech on at the BET Awards, and people were angry about something. And my good friend Coco Brown, who's acted in his movies and been on his TV shows, was really kind of a little distraught by some things that were said about Tyler Perry, and respectfully so. I understand where she's coming from. And the public, especially us as African Americans, you know, we can be really cruel. And the hurtful part about it more than anything is we can be cruel to the people we're cruelest to, honestly, is each other. That is what really makes this, makes things so sad, man, the fact that we are so cruel to each other, you know. And, again, that kind of drives the point home back to the subject that I'm pushing right now, father's plight, you know, with what I've gone through, having to go through, you know, a year and 9 months of not being able to see my children, of having my custody taken from me. You know, that was something that was very cruel. You know what I'm saying? It's a cruel situation. And it's not just cruel to me. It's cruel to my daughters, because children, you know, 90% of black children have grown up, 90% of black people have grown up in a broken home, a single parent home. And what that does is it has a bad effect on the shaping of us as human beings. So I bring that all around to say this. For who's ever running for president, I wish you the best. I really hope that whoever does get the Democratic nomination, I really hope that they do a good job. I really do. I don't want to be politically correct or incorrect and even say who I'm voting for. I don't want to say that I'm voting for Donald Trump because I'm not. I don't want to say that I'm not voting for Donald Trump because I'm not. But I don't want to say I'm voting for someone on the Democratic side either, because maybe I won't. You know, I don't want to give my political opinion. However, I just want us as human beings to do and be better. And what I will say is that Donald Trump is a disgrace to the presidency. He's a disgrace to the seat. And I'm not just saying that just out of anger or just malice towards him as a person, but the type of racial tension that has resurfaced since Donald Trump has been president is horrible. And truly, people conduct themselves as their leader. That's something we all do, you know, down to the smallest sector of a chief of police, say a chief of a fire department, a principal of a school. You know, people conduct themselves the way that their leader conducts themselves. So, as a country, I must say that I'm a bit disappointed in us for our conduct. And I hope we change it, man. I really do. And I think the way to change it, like I said, I don't want to give my opinion yay or nay about, you know, the seat of the presidency of the United States. But I do want to say that realistically, Donald Trump has really soared the seat of the presidency. And so I would hope that whoever gets that seat, and even if – see, the thing is, you have to hope for the best either way. Even if he maintains that seat, we have to hope that he would possibly do better and change his ways. And like, if he maintains the seat, just hope that he would literally change, man. You know, we're gonna play a little music, man. And then when I come back, I actually have a guest that's calling in today. And I'm going to speak with my guests once I play this music. And when we come back, we're going to hear from our guests. And then we're going to discuss a few events that are coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, I have booked my birthday party July 6th at the Lion right in Leimert Park. It's going down, man. I'm telling you, more information and details coming right back at you. I'll play this music and I'll be right back, y'all.
I'm getting so tall. I ain't went this hard since I was 18. Apologize if I say anything I don't mean. Like, what's up with your best friend? We could all have some fun, believe me. And what's up with these new niggas? And why they think it all comes so easy?
But get it while you here, boy. Cause all that hype don't feel the same next year, boy. Yeah, and I'll be right here in my spot with a little more cash than I already got. Tripping off you cause you had your shot. With my skin tan and my hair long. With my fans who've been so patient. Me and 40 back to work, but we still smell like a vacation. Hate the rumors, hate the bullshit, hate these fucking allegations. I'm just feeling like the throne is for the taking. Watch me take
all
it.
I care about is money in the city that I'm from. I'ma sip until I feel it, I'ma smoke it till it's done. I don't really give a fuck and my excuse is that I'm young. And I'm only getting older, somebody should've told you. I'm on one, yeah, fuck it, I'm on one. Yeah, I said I'm on one, fuck it, I'm on one.
Two white cups that I got that drink. Could be purple or could be pink. Depending on how you mix that shit. Money to be gotten, I'ma get that shit. Cause I'm on one.
I said fuck it, I'm on
one. I'm burning purple flowers. It's burning my chest. I bury the most cash and burning the rest. Walking on the clouds, suspended in thin air. The ones beneath me recognize the red bottoms I wear. Burning in the belt, move the kids to the heels. Been shorty on the sink, do it for the thrill. Kiss you on your neck and tell you everything is great. Even though I'm out on bond and might be facing Nate, still running with the same niggas to the death of me. Ever seen a million cash, gotta count it carefully. Ever made love to the woman of your dreams? In a room full of money out in London as she screams. Baby, I could take it there. Call Marc Jacobs personally to make a pair. So yeah, we on one, the feeling ain't fair. And it's double MG until I get the chair.
All I care about is money in the city that I'm from. I'ma sip until I feel it, I'ma smoke it till it's done. I don't really give a fuck and my excuse is that I'm young. And I'm only getting older, somebody should've told you. I'm on one, yeah, fuck it, I'm on one. Yeah, I said I'm on one. Fuck it, I'm on one.
Two white cups that I got that drink. Could be purple or could be pink. Depending on how you mix that shit. Money to be gotten, I'ma get that shit. Cause I'm on one.
I said fuck it, I'm on one.
I walk around the club. Fuck everybody. And all my niggas got that heat. I feel like Pat Riley. Yeah, too much money ain't enough money. You know the feds listening. Nigga, what money? I'm a made nigga. I should dust something. You niggas on the bench, like the bus coming. Ain't nothing sweet but the switches. I'm focused, might as well say cheese for the pitches. Oh, I'm about to go Andre the Giant. You a sellout, but I ain't buying. Chop a dissect a nigga like science. Put it into your world like the Mayans. It's a celebration, bitches. Mazel tov, it's a slim chance I fall. Olive oil, don't you be the name. Don't ask me how I got it. I'm killing these hoes, I swear I'm trying to stop the violence.
All I care about is money, yeah. In the city that I'm from. I'ma sip until I feel it, I'ma smoke it till it's done. I don't really give a fuck and my excuse is that I'm young. And I'm only getting older, somebody should've told you. I'm on one, yeah, fuck it, I'm on one.
Williams, yeah, beat that I'm on one. Fuck it, I'm on one. Two white cups that I got that drink. Could be purple or could be pink, depending on how you mix that shit. Money to be gotten, I'ma get that shit, cause I'm on one. I said, fuck it, I'm on.
Tune in, tell a friend, the Playboy comedy, Mr. Trey Love is in. Welcome to blogtalkradio.com/handsomelife. Feel free to call in 323-642-1706, or you can send us an email at handsomelifemedia@gmail.com. Email AJ Alexander, he's the executive producer of this podcast. He will follow up with you. For those of you who want to advertise or sponsor on this station, please make sure you send that email with details. For cats with new music, man, that want to put that music out, that want some shine, you know what I'm saying? If you ain't getting played, we're going to play you right here on Handsome Life, you know what I'm saying? We're going to get you some shine on this way, you know what I mean? Handsome Life Media, that's handsomelifemedia@gmail.com, man. Shoot that email over the deck, or make sure you send a clip, man. Send your picture, bio, all that, man. We're gonna represent you out here, man. We're gonna make it happen, man. We're gonna give voices to the voiceless. You know what I mean? That's what it's about on Handsome Life. That's why we're gonna do this. That's why it's a father's plight. There's a lot of fathers out here, man, that are going through hell, man, battles, you know, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars, just lawyer fees, going through just magnificent amounts of stress and anguish to be good fathers to their kids, man. It can be so hard. And these men get no voices. They get no shine. Nobody's talking about them. Nobody's calling a single parent. When a person thinks about a single parent, the first thing they think about is a female. Nobody takes a male into consideration and realizes that that man is a single parent too. He is just as much a parent as that female is a parent. Let's start looking at this. Let's weigh the pros and cons of this thing, ladies and gentlemen. Let's really look at this. Speaking of this, the young lady who I have on the line says that she grew up in a home with a similar situation that I'm going through. She doesn't want her name or identity revealed, so we are going to call her anonymous, but we want to welcome her to Handsome Life Radio and give her an opportunity to express, you know, her thoughts and feelings about how her life has gone being in this broken home type situation. I would like to welcome Anonymous to the podcast today. Let's get her on the line. Miss Anonymous, welcome to Handsome Life. How are you today?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Is this Trey Love?
Yes, it is. How are you today, ma'am? How are you?
I'm wonderful. Father's plight. I've been looking forward to this. Awesome.
Great, great.
Yeah, I've been listening for a while.
Well, thank you for your listen. I really do. And I want to also say that I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you sharing your voice with us today. You know, you and I had a talk offline about some situations, you know, a situation that you're familiar with, you know, as far as my plight for what I'm dealing with as far as my parents are concerned. I mean, as far as my parenting is concerned, and the way you kind of explained it to me, your mother went through kind of what I'm going through. So I don't, and what I want to do with my audience, because being a father's plight, most people think that I'm just bashing women. I'm not bashing women. What I'm bashing is the system, which is unfair, in my opinion, towards men. But I want you to tell your story from your side about how it affected you growing up in this type of situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, as kids, you know, we have this really, really, really good ability to blame ourselves for what's going on with our adults in our lives, you know. Just, you know, being able to, what they think we don't see, what they think we don't hear, we hear and we see very well. And we tend to make that our fault. If we act better, if we try harder, you know, and it gets frustrating because the more you guys act crazy, the more crazy we get, you know, and it's a vicious cycle.
So you would say that, so what you're saying basically is that your parents going through their spats may say you act out more. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. It became more of a, you know, look at me type of thing, you know, and it began to get crazier. You know, you start hurting yourself or you start doing things that you shouldn't do in school, you know, misbehaving, anything to keep the tension off of them.
Mm. Do you have any siblings?
I have a younger sister. I do have a younger sister.
So what's the difference in age between you and your younger sister?
We are almost 2 years apart. I would say about a year and three quarters apart.
Just curious, how did this affect your, how did this situation affect your sister as opposed to you? Was it a did she have to go through the same thing? I mean, just give me just your opinion because she's not here to confirm or deny or defend herself. But in your opinion, do you see where this has had a certain type of effect on your sister as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the crazy part, you know, two people born in the same household have completely different outlooks on it, you know. Whereas I shut down, my sister took this opportunity to get out. You know, she studied hard in school. She got good grades. She went away to college. She moved away to D.C. when she graduated. You know, she moved up. Like, she chose to get away. You know, and she chose education to get away. And whereas I chose to escape. You know.
When you say escape, what do you mean? Give me some details.
Hanging out with the wrong crowd, having no boundaries whatsoever, just basically being reckless, you know, as if, you know, there's nothing to look forward to, you know. I mean, why should I study for what? So for what? You know, like everything was just bad. It didn't matter what happened. It was just bad.
Did you get involved in any type of drugs, in the drug scene?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think I got involved with all the drugs. Really, you know, I was more of your garden variety, you know. I tried a little bit of anything, everything. I, you know, a couple of things stuck. I mean, if you ever want to, you know.
I'm listening.
I would just be careful, you know, it's kind of like jumping off the deep end, you know, you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know where it's going to go. And for me, it led to, you know, window washing at a gas station, so. Yeah.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. Where are you from?
I'm from right here in L.A., West Side, Beach Town. Very extremely popular.
Let's talk about your parents a little bit. What was your what is your background? Are your parents still alive? I mean, what's going on? What's your parents? What's the current situation?
Both my parents are deceased. My father early 2000s, my mother 6 years ago. Yeah.
Okay, just curious, what was the background of your mother and father? What did your father do and what did your mother do as far as their jobs?
My father was a bus driver in the town that I lived in, and my mother was a radiologist at a really good hospital.
Wow. How long were they together? How long did you and your sister grow up in a household together with mom and dad? Okay. So how old were you when your mom and dad broke up?
I was 5.
You were 5 years old when your parents broke up. So if you don't mind my asking, I know, well, you're anonymous, so you can tell us from 5 years old and you're, how old are you now, ma'am?
Oh, I'm up there.
I mean, if you don't mind telling us, because I'm trying to get paint a picture and get a demographic for some more questions here. I want to, you know, kind of get, you know, if you don't mind, I want to kind of get.
Not at all. You know what? I don't mind at all. 46. I'm 46.
Okay, you're 46 years old. So from being 5 years old, let's just go back a little bit. Because, see, what I'm dealing with, my daughters are 7 and 5. My little baby is 5. She'll never know her mother being in love. And I'm sure that my older daughter, which is 7 now, she was 5 when everything went down. So my daughter was 4 years old when me and her mother separated, and my little daughter was 2. So I'm looking at the age ranges, dude. So let me ask you, being that young, when your parents broke up, did it feel like the end of the world, or were you so young that you kind of don't remember, or did things shift to a point that you remember it shifting? That's the question I want to ask. At 5 years old, do you remember the shift of your parents being together or not? How does that affect you?
Yeah, you know how you say, you know, your daughters don't remember you and your wife being in love. I don't remember my mom and father being in love either.
My wife, my fiance.
So,
oh, gotcha.
Your fiance.
Gotcha.
I don't remember my parents also being in love. So that wasn't an experience I had as well. You know, it was always fighting.
Okay.
It was always violence of some sort. You know, so it was never like any kind of a peaceful moment. There was never any, you know what I'm saying? It was just kind of like normal. That's what happened, you know.
No,
and after a while, it didn't.
Here's another question. So this is really, you're really, I'm so glad you called in today, Anonymous. I swear, like, I may want to do more interviews on you because your case is like, it's so direct to mine. It's just you're an adult, and I'm looking at it from my kid's point of view. Here's a question I have for you. Did because you said something about it was always conflict. What I wanted to share with you was two things. I want to also talk about how you ended up experimenting in drugs, and you haven't been, your father is in the household since you were 5, and then all you remember is fighting and conflict. Here's a question I have. Are you currently in a relationship right now? And do you think that your parents' relationship affected you in relationships?
Currently, I am in a situationship.
Okay.
Has it affected how I view relationships? No, it hasn't. I think it's changed. I think it's evolved. I think it's been through a lot of different stages. You know, where I didn't allow anything or anyone to touch me, and then there was too much touching, and then, you know, so you go from one extreme to the next, you know, and where you just don't care, you know, because what's the use? It's only going to turn out bad anyway. But
gotcha.
You grow up, you know.
So, like I said, you feel that your parenting. How do you feel watching your parents' conflict, how do you feel that that's affected you in relationships with men?
It's made me very submissive.
Mm.
You know, I don't like to argue. I don't like a lot of yelling. I like peace at all costs. You know, I'm not going to fight you. You know, I'm not going to make you fight me. I'm very, you know, I'm very weary of certain things. Like, if something clicks in my head or turns me off, I'm out of there. You know, I don't waste any time.
Okay, so here's another question. Your dad was not in the home since you were 5 years old. How was it? Tell me about how it went when he was out of the home. What type of interactions did you have with your father when he was outside of the home? I'm curious to know about how that was.
You know, as opposed to what the laws are today, they were a lot different back then. Your mother and father had, you know, you children mostly stayed with their mother, but their father also had, you know, maybe some weekday visits, and every other weekend he would spend the weekend with him, you know. So I saw my father, you know, twice a week, and then every other weekend. So those times that I was with him, you know, the beginnings would be a little rocky, you know, where we didn't want to go, and then eventually we were made to go. And, you know, as kids do, they get over themselves, you know. And
right.
But, you know, children want to love both their parents, you know.
Of course.
They just want to be free to love both their parents, you know. And when children are made to feel like they have to choose, you know, it does something to their head, you know. People don't understand what that does, you know. The guilt you feel, or, you know, because at that age, kids don't know how to differentiate between, they know right and wrong. They don't know gray area, you know.
Right, right.
If you're yelling at mommy, you're
right
wrong,
back.
You know. If,
we're going to come right back. We're going to come right back, man. Let me play some music, y'all. We got to come right back. I got to take a commercial break real quick. Everybody, tune in, tell a friend, the Playboy Comedy, Mr. Trey Love is back in. Excuse me for that quick commercial break, but I had a slight, I don't want to say emergency, but I had something very important I had to take care of, and it was right on the whim, and I needed to take care of it right then, so please forgive me, y'all. But welcome back to blogtalkradio.com/handsomelife. Again, feel free to call in 323-642-1706. Email us at handsomelifemedia@gmail.com. And I want to give a shout out to the young lady, Anonymous, who called in and shared her story with us. She's still on the line. She says that she has some more that she wants to share. But I kind of want to touch on some of the subjects that she talked about and how things affected her. You know, when she shared with us that, and this is something that we see, here's what's funny. Each and every one of us walking this planet, we're children. Everybody walking this planet was once a child. No one came here a full-grown adult. No one came here with any knowledge. No one. We all had to grow, develop. We all had to learn. We all had to learn how to eat, what to eat. We had to learn to clean ourselves, you know. We had to learn how to cook. You know, we literally had to learn how to pray. I know my mother taught me how to pray. God bless her soul. You know, we have to learn from our ancestors in order to figure out how to live life. Speaking of learning, I was speaking with a cousin of mine in Chicago, and we're getting ready to really push Chicago, man. I'm about to talk about my city and tell you guys some things about the Windy City of Chicago coming up real soon. And also, I'm working on Dad Mag, which is Daddy Magazine. It's going to be a magazine that is going to feature fathers from around the nation, you know, good fathers. And feel free to email me about any fathers that you all know of. We're going to tell stories of fathers, man. We're going to start this magazine, and we're going to start giving voices to the voices. Like I said, that's what we're doing over here at Handsome Life. We're giving voices to the voiceless. Speaking of voiceless, the guest that I have on the line right now is one of generally the most voiceless people that are in any type of domestic situation that goes wrong, which is the children. So I would like to bring Anonymous back, and I would like to continue to speak with her on just the things that she's going through. Like I said, being the child of conflicting parents. So let's welcome this young lady back to the forum, blogtalkradio.com/handsomelife. Oh, real quick, let me just make sure I put it out there, ladies and gentlemen. We are accepting donations right now for a father's plight. Myself, personally, I'm dealing with attorney's fees and things of that nature. I have a trial coming up for my custody. So if you find it in your heart to please make a donation to my Cash App, which is $TRELUV, Trey Love Inc., $TreyLoveInc. Please donate today if you so choose, man. It will really help. Any amount will do because, like I said, I'm building up these court fees to get my custody back. And then once I complete my case, I'm not going to stop with the father's plight. There's a reality that has hit me since I've been doing this. I'm not the only man going through this, and that's something that's been a very sobering reality, that I am not the only person that is going through this, man. There are a lot of men that are dealing with the same thing, the same issue of not just trying to get custody, but get custody visitation. Women are taking their kids out of state. So let's stay on top of this, man, and let's do what we can to stop this, you know, to make sure we keep our children close to us so we can raise them and protect them, because that's all a man wants to do. I know that's all I want to do is raise and protect my children. So let's welcome back to the show, Anonymous. Ms. Anonymous, how you doing? Thank you for calling back today. I apologize for the abrupt ending to our conversation the first time, but I had a mission that I had to take care of. But I would like to welcome you back to Handsome Life Radio, and thank you again so much for your patronage and for your time sharing your story with us today. So a question that I have that I wanted to propose earlier, and I you know, because I really kind of need this from a father's point of view, is the time, you say from 5 years old, your father was no longer in the home. From five, let's go up until the legal age of 18, what was it like? I think you expressed to me something about visitation. How did the visitations go? What was that like? And just give me, from a child's point of view, What were the visitations like with your father?
I would say in the beginning they were great. You know, we went lots of places, fishing, you know, hunting, roller skating, and we did a lot of activities. We camped. We were busy. You know, we did cross country trips and things like that. It was a great time. I got to visit with a lot of family. It was amazing. It was amazing.
So he took you to meet his family. So you did have a rapport with your father's side of the family too, I presume?
I did. I would say up until maybe 9 years old, 10.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm. What happened about nine or ten? What happened then?
Well, back then they called it custodial interference, but my father decided that he was going to kidnap us and took us off to Oregon.
Okay, tell that story. Tell that story, because that's something. See, this is now. See, that's where it's getting good. Not at all. Saying that it's good that he did that at all. But when I say that's where it's getting good, those are the types of stories that myself and other men need to hear about the mistake. Tell me about the mistake that your dad made, because that's what I want to know about. Like, okay, so because see, now we're getting some traction. Let me show my men something here. Okay, because you said that at 5 years old, boom, dad's no longer in the home. So from 5, mm-hmm. 6, 7, 8, 9, that's 4 years that things were pretty okay with the visitation. Now talk about what your dad did, and then talk about what happened with the courts after he did it. That's what I want to hear about. So go ahead. At 9 years old, dad kidnapped you. Then what?
And here's the thing. You know, it wasn't about us. You know, and that is, you know, and from a kid's point of view, when adults try to attack each other, they tend to use their kids to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was more or less trying to get back at her through us.
Mm. Wow.
You know, kind of like when the assassin doesn't kill you, he kills your wife, you know.
Mm.
Things like that, you know. And as a child, you begin to think you were wrong, you were bad. You know, and therefore I'm being taken away, you know. And so, I mean, and that goes for men and women, you know, especially women, you know, tend to think that because they birth a child, it's their child and the father has no control whatsoever.
Right.
You know, that's not true, you know, and the same thing for the father, you know, because you're the dad doesn't mean that you have all the control, you know. And I think as parents, if we, you know, just don't, I can't even say as parents because I don't know, but I know for children, nobody wants to see that as a child.
Wow.
You know, because now I have to make a decision, and children should never have to make adult decisions. They're not equipped for that.
You know, it's funny because what I'm dealing with personally, it's such a hard thing on my end. That's why I'm creating the slogan, Deadbeat Mama. The reason why I'm creating that slogan is because this is how serious it is. I have a set of twin daughters that are 25 years old. When my children were growing up, of course, me and their mother were not together. However, she made such a fuss and painted such a bad picture of me, and she moved them out of state. Now, at this time, I was young. I was very young. You know, I had my kids when I was a man, let me say this. I literally was a kid when my children, when my first set of kids were born. So I did not have the know-how. And then to top it off, my mother died when I was very young too. So not only did I become a young father, I also was a motherless person running around here. And I'm not knocking fathers, but I really could have. My dad basically was a figure as far as being a dad. He never really took the time to sit me down to, like, I hear people tell stories about, yeah, I could go over here and my dad did this for me, my dad did that for me. My father is an alcoholic and a drug addict. So what's happened with me is I've come to accept that not only my dad won't do anything for me, I've accepted the fact that literally my dad has an illness. My dad is sick. He cannot do anything for me. So everything that I've gone through, from just the essence of my life, I have had to put my entire life together on my own. So when my first baby's mother, and then here's the thing, she has 12 brothers and sisters all together, plus her mother and father. Her father passed away, but she had her mother and her father, and she had 12 brothers and sisters. And again, it was just me. And unfortunately, I want to also do a show on family. Because family, when I say family, especially for us men, your family can be the worst people that you ever have to deal with. My own sister got more inclined, and when I say in bed, I don't mean anything vulgar, but my sister literally went to see my kids, took my baby's mother's side, and never told me about, you know, times with my children. My own aunt, my mother's sister, did the same thing. And that's why, like, to this day, now I will never speak to or have any type of relationship with my own sister or my aunt, because they literally tried to supersede me as a parent because they wanted to be seen in my children's eyes. And that's, I want to do another show and segment on that. Sometimes the aunts and the sisters, like for us men, they try to take over, and it really ends up hurting, because you don't make the father look good. You make the father look bad, and that is an awful thing. And I'm, like I said, I'm going to be doing a segment on that as well. So, but back to what I was expressing about your situation, I kind of wanted to get into what the, like, because when you say, here's the point I'm making. When you said that kids feel like it's their fault, here's what's so painful for me. When I see what has happened to my twin daughters, like, when I listen to you, I listen to your story when you say that you ended up trying all kinds of drugs, when you say you ended up doing all kinds of explicit things. Here's what I know for a fact about my twin daughters, and this is painful to have to say, but this is the reality, and this is, and not in my opinion, this is cause of deadbeat mothers out there. One of my firstborn daughter is on, you know, she's in and out of rehab. You know, she's in and out of, you know, mental institutions. You know, my other daughter, even though she's graduated college and stuff like that, she's had abortions. You know what I mean? So I'm sharing this raw truth with you, with, you know, my audience, because I know how hard my twin's mother worked to keep me out of their lives. And then she had to come back later and admit to me, you know, the woman called me and admitted to me that those girls needed me. She admitted, she said, you know, that was a mistake I made by keeping those kids from you. You know, she explained how one kid was going through something and the other kid was doing okay, but while she was paying the other kid attention, she said co-parenting is important. So even with, and see, that's something my baby's mother would never admit to the public, but I always know in my heart, I have that conversation registered in my heart, because she knows that over the long term, her short-term anger did not result in a positive effect on our children. And that's what that's what a father's plight is. You know, it's these young ladies that are using the court systems and their anger to be so mad and be so vicious towards their baby's father, to exert this power for the moment to say, I'm the mama and I'm this and I'm that, they're not really considering the long-term effect that this has on the children. And that's even what I'm saying. It ties right back into your point. You, all you knew was mom and dad are fighting it. I don't know why. And you took it to heart as if it was your fault. And I don't know where these podcasts are going to go. I don't know who's ever going to listen to these. But I want to say to each and every one of my children, it was not, and it is not, and it never has been your fault. You did not ask anyone to put you on this planet. You're on this planet, though, and know that you are loved, and know that you are, especially any child should know that they're loved, but especially mine, know that you're not accidents. Know that some things happened between myself and your mothers, and I promise to God I'm going to be on the father's plight for the rest of my life, because the thing is, once I became a father, that's a title that sticks with you, like becoming a knight or becoming a mason or becoming anything. Once you become that, you are that for the rest of your life. Even if you call a person a deadbeat dad, guess what you end that with? You end that with dad. Because no matter what, that person is a father for the rest of their lives. Now, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and close the show out. I want you to go and talk to us real quick with some closing remarks and any advice you have for parents on how to, what you feel coming from a person that experienced it, what advice would you give us adults as far as co-parenting moving forward?
I would say this. Someone has to be the hero. Someone has to be. Someone has to back down. Someone has to be the one that can provide peace and comfort. Someone. And whichever that is, mom or dad. And we also have to realize that what we feel as adults has nothing to do with how our children feel. And don't visit how you feel upon your parents, upon your children. How you feel about your husband is none of your children's business.
Wow.
And how the father feels about his wife is none of his children's business. Mm-hmm. You know, if he has something to say to his wife and he can't say it to his wife, you better get an email, write it down.
Wow.
I don't know, send it in a letter. But don't do it through your children. You
don't
know?
Don't do it through them children. Mm-hmm.
Don't do it through your children. It's not their, they shouldn't have to listen to that. They shouldn't have to know that at all. Children should be free to love both their parents at the same time, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what's going on, whether he pays child support or not, whether she does what she's supposed to be doing or not. Treat each other as if you still love each other, you know?
Yep. I couldn't agree with that more. Well, check this out. We're going to play a little music, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to close out the show. Anonymous, I want to really thank you for your insight. Not sure if you're available, Anonymous, but I'll be doing this show each and every day from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. If you would, definitely listen. But if you don't mind, please call in and share some more of your story and different stories with us. We'd love to have you if you're available.
Amazing. Sounds like fun.
Okay, cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Anonymous for calling in. In memory of Bushwick Bill, man, we're going to go on and ride a little bit and let our mind play a couple of tricks on us, and then I'm going to close the show out. But everybody, I want to wish you a blessed and amazing day. Let's enjoy some of this music, and then we're going to go ahead and close this podcast out for today.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles. Who got me? We're on the radio, Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls closing in, getting bigger. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right, but I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see them when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I hear a car burning rubber. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill, B, but I can't, G, cause there's somebody trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window. Investigating the joint for traps, checking my telephone for taps. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's messed up when your mind is playing tricks on you. I make big money, I drive big cars, everybody know me. It's like I'm a movie star, but late at night, something ain't right. I feel I'm being tailed by the same sucker's headlights. Is it that move that I ran off the block? Or is it that clown last week that I shot? Or is it the one I beat for $5,000? Thought he had cane, but it was gold, not a flower. Reached under my seat, grab my papa for the suckers. Ain't no use in me lying.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for tuning in, telling a friend that the Playboy comedy, Mr. Trey Love, has been in. Man, it has been an amazing show today. I really want to thank that young lady for calling in and sharing her story with us, man. We're going to be doing this show each and every day from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. That's just the start. Just so you all know, I will be selling airtime. I will be advertising on blogtalkradio.com/handsomelife. There will also be artists, music, plays, people that don't get an opportunity to get this stuff heard. They're going to be heard right here on this podcast. Like I say, we're going every day, 2 o'clock p.m. to 3 p.m., selling ad space. If you've got an event that you're promoting, speaking of events, July 6, 2019, at 7:30, doors open, 8 o'clock showtime, I'm going to be performing my I'm going to be doing my birthday comedy showcase at the Den in Leimert Park. It's right there on 43rd Place. Den, you all know where it is, that in L.A. It's going to be a major event, man. I'm actually working right now with the comedians. It's going to be like a king and queen kind of thing. I'm putting together males and females for this comedy show. So listen, y'all, I want to thank you again for just taking the time to listen to my podcast. Please replay it, review it, share it. You know what I'm saying? Go to my YouTube channel, Trey Love Vision. Follow me on Instagram, Trey Love Vision. Follow me on Instagram, Trey Love Vision. Follow me on Facebook, Lewis Smith, L-O-U-I-S. Tune in, tell a friend, the Playboy Comedy, Mr. Trey Love has been in, man. It's been an amazing day. I'm having a good one, man. I hope you're having a good one, too, man. Let's just keep living, man. Let's live while we're alive. Let's strive to be and do the best with no stress. Y'all don't hear me. All right, make it happen, y'all. I'm out of here. Peace.